You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
3 months ago, Time magazine on its front cover boldly announced that America is running itself ragged. A rat race. That is what Time called life in the 80s. A lifestyle which is wearing everybody out and wrecking families and destroying marriages. Surprised and greatly disappointed. That's how some authorities now describe their feelings about what is taking place in our nation. It wasn't supposed to turn out that way. In 1965, during testimony before a United States Senate subcommittee, social planners predicted that in 20 years, that is, by 1985, people would be working only 22 hours a week. But now we can see they were wrong. They were totally wrong. The opposite has actually happened. Many people now work 50 hours a week. Some work 60 hours a week. Professional, self-employed, and especially women who combine careers while homemaking, labor 80 hours a week and sometimes even more. This current social rat race was accurately described by Time magazine in 6 thoroughly researched and well-documented pages. And the most interesting part was the final paragraph. The authors concluded that, in order to correct the situation, which is slowly destroying our society, it will require more than simplistic innovations. Little adjustments and timely hints for living are not going to be enough. If we are going to restore a climate in our nation where the family is going to be reinforced instead of ripped apart, and if we are going to create an environment where children and adults are going to enjoy life rather than constantly complain that they are either worn out, depressed, or lonely, this will demand major changes. In fact, in the author's own words, this will demand dramatic changes in both attitudes and economics. Now, does this surprise you? Probably not, because most anybody willing to study the trends of our society will certainly come to the conclusion that our generation has painted itself into a corner. This has happened because we want everything. That's called having your cake and eating it too. We want a new car and we want a new home. We want a large wardrobe and we want investments. We want complete insurance coverage, which will protect us from about almost anything you can ever even imagine. And then, of course, we want paid vacations and we want well-padded retirements. For these worldly goods, we have been willing to sacrifice our homes. Marriages are put at risk, and families have been made vulnerable. And so, of course, it's no wonder that even secular publications such as Time magazine are now sounding the alarm that things are falling apart. And if all this seems confusing, that people are trying to buy more and more in order to be fulfilled through pleasure, and yet the average person says he's enjoying it less and less, then perhaps we should stop a moment and listen to the words of Jesus. Jesus said, "Be on your guard against every form of greed, for not even when one has an abundance does his life consist of his possessions." By this Jesus was simply saying, even if we possess everything that our eyes can see or our hearts might desire, even then life itself would remain empty. This is true because material possessions have never and will never satisfy the deepest desires of our soul. There is more to life than 70 years or more on the planet Earth, and for this reason the author of the book of Hebrews writes, "For here on this earth we do not have a lasting city. No, we are seeking the city which is to come." Jesus said it like this, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so God is asking you and he's asking me to get our priorities straight. And God is inviting us through his Son Jesus Christ to look at life in a totally different way than the world is urging us to do. Isn't it interesting how we get our priorities in life so mixed up? We all know that if we would only listen to the Lord a little more, we wouldn't get ourselves into such difficulties. We don't always like to agree with this because most of the time we claim that we are quite religious. We go to church and we listen to the sermon, but it all becomes sort of like music. Music, that's a modern word to describe the music that's played quietly in grocery stores and sometimes in doctor's offices. This music is there, and it provides a type of a background, but nobody is really listening to it. And that's the way it is for many people today. They have their religion, and they go to church, but it's all in the background, and it doesn't really make an impact on their lives. And this is also why it often takes a crisis in our families or in our personal lives to wake us up. Impending divorce, disintegrating families, or an impossible financial situation often forces us to stop and to say, "Hold everything. I need to stop and to find out where I'm going. I need to ask why I am part of this rat race. Is this all there is to life? Do I really need to sacrifice my life? And must I stand by while my marriage crumbles? Must I buy everything that I see advertised on television? And is it really necessary for me to keep up with the Joneses? I am constantly told to get the most out of life and to serve myself first. But wouldn't I be happier if I served others first?" 3 years ago, one lady wrote McCall's magazine and said, "I read with sadness about the emptiness experienced by women who believe that the most important things in life are their careers and their clothes. It is humanly impossible to feel fulfilled," this lady explained, "unless we make a commitment to something larger than ourselves. There are so many community services we can perform. The list is endless, and the satisfaction," this lady explained, "is guaranteed." And of course, all of this makes us stop and listen and hear the words of Jesus again, doesn't it? Jesus said, remember, "Don't be greedy. A life with real meaning is never measured by how much we possess. Because if this were so, the super rich would be super happy." But this is simply not the case. After an extensive study of the rich and the famous, Time magazine announced that the super rich, after buying their big house and after planting the big gardens and after hosting the big parties, are not really fulfilled. They are not really happy. In fact, the interviews reveal that the rich are actually often bored with life. And so today, it's a good time for you to think about the Bible text we have for today from Hebrews chapter 13, which says, "For here on this earth we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." That is to say, don't put all your eggs in this world's basket of materialistic dreams. And so, my friends, with the help of God, rearrange your priorities. Get a new start. Get off the roller coaster of life, which so often ends up in discouragement and despair. And prepare now for a new and positive approach to living. Yes, prepare for a new perspective. This will take place as you prayerfully listen to the advice of the Apostle Paul. St. Paul writes to the Colossians and he says this, "If then you have been raised up with Christ, then keep seeking the things which are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God." Then St. Paul adds, "Set your mind on the things above and not on the things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God." Now what does this all mean, that our life is hidden with Christ in God? It means that when you repent and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, the old person within you, the old person of greed and despair within you dies, and a new person of life and hope arises. This means that when you sincerely repent of your sins, and when you trust completely for salvation in the sin-cleansing blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, then everything changes. You are no longer alone. You are then inextricably bonded to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. you suffer with him, and in his resurrection you have new life, and then as a result, life for you will not be finished when the lid of your coffin is closed over you. You, like the Lord Jesus Christ, unto whom you are bonded by faith, will be raised again from the dead. And so when we read in our text for today that here on this earth we have no lasting city, but that we are seeking the city which is to come, let me tell you this. We are then rejecting the standards of this world. And if you do this, let me remind you, you are going to be going against the grain, you are going to be swimming upstream, and this is never, ever easy. The Gallup poll recently reported that our society is not as God-centered as we are often led to believe. In fact, our society often militates against God and His will. A recent survey showed that increasing trust in human powers is evidence of a growing secular trend. And the pollsters observed that the trend toward secularistic thinking is going on, listen to this now, it's going on even within the church. People in the survey were asked whether they relied more on themselves to solve problems in life or more on outside powers such as God. And a shocking 45% said they relied more on themselves. All of this means, of course, that if you decide to chart a new course in your life, and if you intend to establish your life and your family upon a spiritual foundation instead of material values, then you can certainly expect quite a few people, and maybe even some of your closest friends, to disagree with you. They might even make fun of you. But if this happens, don't be discouraged. For whenever you identify with the Lord Jesus Christ, a certain number of people are always going to look down upon you. In fact, this is the context for our Word of God for today. In Hebrews chapter 13, verse 12, we read, "Therefore Jesus also, so that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside of the city gate." You see, my friends, when Jesus decided to follow the will of his Father, and when Jesus decided to identify with sinners like you and like me, then he was rejected. He was taken outside of the city. In fact, he was led outside of the city of Jerusalem, and there he was crucified. He was murdered. Jesus was willing to give up his citizenship in this earthly city so that he could prepare the greater city, the eternal city, the new Jerusalem. And so now when you and I identify with Jesus, we will also have to leave our earthly cities. We will need to go outside of the city of secularism. We will have to leave the city of self-service. And we will need to leave the city of greed and the city of worldliness. We will need to go outside of the city with Jesus and there to be crucified with him. Our ego and our self-centered selfishness must die so that a new person can come forth within us. Listen again as the writer of the book of Hebrews explains it when he says, "Therefore Jesus also, so that he might sanctify the people through his own blood, suffered outside of the city gate." Thus God says in his word, "Let us go out to Jesus outside of the camp, and let us there bear his reproach." For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come. Now the struggle between what the world wants us to do and what God wants us to do is not new. Over 1,500 years ago, Saint Augustine, the famous early church father and the gifted theologian, wrote his famous work entitled The City of God. This work dealt with the fundamental contrast between Christianity and the world. This work was completed in the year 425 AD, 15 years after the fall of Rome. This work has also become the supreme exposition of the Christian philosophy of history, and this work is often required reading by students at state colleges and universities. And so when people hear a preacher say that conditions in our society are breaking down, that our society's fabric is unraveling, and that our society is coming apart at its seams, then there are always those who respond with arrogant indifference and say, "Oh yeah, well that's what the preachers are always saying." But the situation in 1989 is different. It is totally different. It is not the preachers who are raising the red flags. Major institutions like Time Magazine and the New York Times and others, they are sounding the alarm. In fact, not long ago, the New York Times had a surprising front page story. This prestigious newspaper reported a disturbing new trend in our nation. The front page story explained that young mothers in increasing numbers don't want their babies anymore. So, what is happening? They leave their children at the grandparents, and grandpa and grandma have to raise them. The New York Times article also reported that this trend is now becoming so widespread that it is surely going to cause a major problem in our country. These conditions are also what caused Yale University psychologist Edward Ziegler to recently say, "As a society, we are now at a breaking point as far as the family is concerned." And so instead of pointing the finger of blame, let us in shame confess that we are all to blame, and that now is the time for us as individuals and as a nation to repent and to acknowledge God. It is time for us to return to godly morality and godly standards. It is time for you and it is time for me to repent and to turn in faith unto the Savior. And then as we reestablish our priorities, let us begin by saying that others, family members and spouses, must come first in our lives. We must openly and firmly reject the idea that we can live for ourselves and serve only our own ego. We must leave. Yes, we must walk out of the phony, man-made cities of materialism, the man-made cities of self-service and ego. Building these cities around us only destroys our society, and it may well eventually destroy us and our families in hell. On this earth, then, no one can build a city or a kingdom which lasts forever. Only the city of God, only the New Jerusalem, is eternal. No wonder the writer of the book of Hebrews says in our text for today, "For here we do not have a lasting city, but we are seeking the city which is to come." And so, my friends, don't look down anymore. Instead, look up and have faith and hope. Away with discouragement. Lift up your eyes of faith. Behold the eternal city, the New Jerusalem. By the power of the Holy Spirit, reestablish new priorities for your life and for your family. Begin meditating on the cross, because, you see, it was on the bloody cross of Calvary that your sins were completely and totally paid for. And then, my friends, shift your eyes and fix your focus upon the empty Easter tomb. For it was from that tomb that the victorious Savior sprang. Sin was defeated and death was conquered. And now you and all who love the Lord Jesus can establish new priorities. Yes, you can begin a new life. Why? Simply because we do not have a lasting city here on this earth, but we are seeking the city which is to come. O Lord, we pray, may this new, happy, and lasting perspective become part of the lives of all those who are listening today. Amen.